This morning, we are pleased to be checking in with Lindsay Atkinson. She is one of the tippy-top people up at the top of the NFHS, the National Federation of High Schools. Ms. Atkinson, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
First off, the National Federation of High Schools, it is a huge organization of which you are near the top of that. Kind of tell us about yourself and how you got into that position before we get into some of these other questions.
Sure. I've been with the Federation for about 8 years, assumed the position of Director of Sports in 2017. Before that, I was a teacher and coach, did all of those fun things, and then I stayed with a connection with the NFHS because I'm from Indianapolis. Our headquarters are here. So I knew some individuals in the office and knew that this was an opportunity that I really admired what was happening in this office, and really from a sport and athletic administration standpoint. The interscholastic high school space has meant a lot to me since I was an interscholastic athlete. And so I've been in this position. I started with the sports of volleyball and then added girls lacrosse. And then the last 2 years, I've also been working with basketball. So it's been an exciting, 8 years, of which I have enjoyed every moment.
It's got to be a pretty neat thing to be able to work as a coach. And obviously, you're probably an athlete before that. But then now you're in an organization where you can actually examine and maybe try and improve the sports, which is kind of where we're into now with the questions I'm going to talk to you about. A big change coming in basketball as it pertains to free throws and fouls now going to be reset at the end of each quarter. Things like that. The phrase 1-1 has been a basketball phrase forever, and now it's going away. Kind of walk us through that process, and I guess, you know, the first big question on that is why? Because that's the first thing people wonder, and what was the thought process behind this change?
Well, it wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision by any means. We've been discussing this. Like I said, I've been working with the committee for 2 years now, and I know they had previous discussions to that. And obviously, we have a close relationship with the NCAA. And so we are constantly, I go to their rules meetings, they come to mine. So we're in dialogue about rules that are different on each level and why they've been beneficial and why they haven't. And so this is one that we have admired that the NCAA women have been doing for several years. And so we had a state experiment with this type of rule. Georgia was experimenting over the last 3 years with, on the fifth foul, you shot a 1-1, and then on the seventh foul, it went to 2. And they had some very good data in regards to the flow of the game, the limited stoppage of time, and the committee really, you know, was looking at that. And then we looked at our injury surveillance report, and our injury surveillance report showed that most of the injuries in basketball were occurring during rebounding situations. And that was one of the initiatives that the NCAA women's side, when they did put this rule, and it was because of the increase of injuries and kind of physical play during the rebounding of a 1-1. And so we did look at that data from our National High School Sports Related Injury Surveillance Study. And I think that was kind of the thing that tipped it for some of the committee members in the vote this year. Like I said, last year it was also under review and we voted and it did not pass. This year, I think they really relied on the injury surveillance data of, you know, maybe this is something that could clean up a little bit within that 1-1, limiting that so you wouldn't have that extra rebounding opportunity. And then they really like the option of the reset to keep flow going, so you're not carrying over fouls and someone's really poor start to quarter one or quarter three would impact then the rest of the flow of the game. So those were kind of some of the things they discussed. But like I said, it wasn't a really spur-of-the-moment decision. This is something they've been discussing and looking at for over the last several years.
We're speaking with Lindsay Atkinson. She's with the National Federation of High Schools, and we're discussing the rule change, which is coming down the pipe for this next basketball season, getting rid of the single bonus. It's just going to be shooting two. And Ms. Atkinson, talk about, if any, pushback that there's been on this. On the other side of this argument, has there been a voice that said, no, leave it alone, or anything like that?
Well, you know, there's always social media now that you get to hear everyone's opinion because everyone gets a voice. And it was interesting because I obviously knew that this was a big change. I've played high school since, or I played basketball since before high school, but I played high school basketball. And so I had never thought about, you know, life before the one and one. But during this, I did research, like, when did the one and one come in? And, you know, just trying to look at the history of this rule in itself. And it's interesting. If you ever get a chance to look at it, it's kind of interesting how the filing has evolved, or the assessment of the bonus from the 1950s through today. But, you know, there's people that aren't excited about it, that they like the tradition of the one and one. And that was really the only... We do give our membership a chance to give feedback on potential rule proposals. And the only really reason people were giving to not go to this rule was tradition. And the committee felt like that wasn't a strong enough reason to not move towards something that could potentially clean up the game in terms of injuries during rebounding, as well as create a better pace and flow to the game. So I get that there's traditionalists. I'm from Indiana. I get it. Like, I get the traditions of the sport of basketball. So believe me, this is, you know, it's an adjustment for myself. So I get it. I completely understand why people are concerned and might feel a little, you know, a little something about getting rid of the one and one. It's a change for sure.
It's you bring up a great point. I'm in my mid-40s, and like I said, it's just been there my whole life. And you talk about there being a time when that wasn't the rule. And, of course, basketball does evolve. You know, I always tease a brother of mine that played basketball. He his senior year, they didn't have the three-point line, and then 2 years later they did. And so, obviously, it does change. It does evolve. The shot clock, different things like that. Do you feel like that this is probably going to be embraced, or do you feel like there's going to be an adjustment period over this next year?
You know what's interesting? I feel like, you know, we've seen it on the collegiate level, where we've watched more and more people tuning into women's basketball. And if you watched any of those that traditionally didn't watch women's basketball over the last couple of years, the comments were always, man, the flow of their game is so much better. Yeah. I really enjoy watching the flow.
Huge numbers this last tournament.
Exactly. And this is a change that could potentially create that flow that people were so drawn to these last couple of years and watching the women's tournament. I mean, I get that there's going to be, you know, some adjustment. I know that there's going to be some coaching adjustments people have to make, because you might not already be in that bonus when you hit the third quarter and you're in fourth quarter and you need to foul. Like, I get that there's going to be some coaching adjustments to that. But I strongly feel that with some time, this change, like you mentioned, the three-point line, will be embraced, and they'll see the positives that will outweigh kind of the negative, which is that traditional one-and-one that we're so used to.
You know, this has obviously been in kind of the crosshairs, and it made a big splash with the announcement just a couple of weeks ago. What are some other things that are on the horizon, maybe not even for basketball, but some other things that are being discussed at the national level with the NFHS, and maybe some things that could potentially be changing or at least under discussion?
Well, I know the shot clock adoption is always still an ongoing topic of discussion and questions about where we are nationally, because obviously it was passed a few years ago to allow for state association adoption. This coming year, we will have 17 states that are utilizing the 35-second shot clock. So that number continues to grow. When we started, it was about 10 states that were using it. And so we continue to keep an eye on that and see where we are, because obviously the rules could be impacted if that becomes more of a majority than a minority number. So that's something we're really looking at. The other real change this year, which it helps officials a lot, which is really aligning our rules with the NCAA men's side, which is about inbounding in the front court and creating those four designated spots for officials to be able to utilize when there is a violation, so they know where to take the ball out, as opposed to trying to guess exactly where on the sideline it intersected. So trying to help officials a little bit there for the out of bounds. General NFHS stuff. Gosh, that's a huge can of worms you're opening there with that question. but we're always
only pull out the ones you want.
Right. You know, name, image, and likeness is always a big one, that because it opened up on the collegiate sphere. Obviously, you got to look at, well, what happens in the high school space. And so far, our states are pretty, trying to, you know, be measured in how they're approaching it, understanding the concerns, but also understanding that they're representing a school, you know, that jersey, that the name on the jersey means something. And so trying to separate, sure, there's some opportunities to make some money, and those can happen. They just can't happen with your jersey on, because that's okay. When you're representing our school. So those are some, that's kind of a big national issue that we're still dealing with. And obviously topics on transgender, and the nice thing, the good and the bad thing about being a federation is that some of the, all of those topics are going to be tackled individually by state associations. So a lot of times the transgender issue is being dictated by state legislatures. And so there's not going to be really a national ruling on transgender participation in high school because we are a federation. So those are kind of the big two topics that I feel like are on state associations' plates right now, which, you know, we try to help with. But in many senses, because if we are a federation, it is their responsibility and decisions to make.
We've been speaking with Lindsay Atkinson as she is. Lindsay, you'll have to remind me of your title one more time. I don't mean to be disrespectful.
A director of sports.
Director. I mean, that's a pretty big title, and I couldn't even remember it. I'm sorry.
I know.
Director of sports with the National Federation of High Schools, NFHS. And Ms. Atkinson, we really do appreciate you taking a bit of time out of what I assume is a really busy schedule and talking to us about some rules coming down the pipe, even in little old Western Wyoming. We really do appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Again, Lindsay Atkinson with the NFHS. Sports Friday continues after this.